Well, if you'll join me in your Bibles, John chapter 17, if you'll find that in your Bible or on your smartphone, John chapter 17, as I this morning want to spend a few moments giving a recap as we end our Who's Your One series. Now, the journey doesn't end, but our series, Who's Your One, is coming to a close today as I give a recap. And if you look to my left and your my right and your left, see this wall, that's our Who's Your One wall. And you'll remember several weeks ago, we wrote the name of a one individual in our lives that we knew needed the Lord. We wrote their name down. We brought it to the wall, the prayer wall. We've been praying for that individual every single week that God would draw that person to himself and that God would use us to win that one to faith in Jesus Christ. So I want you to continue that journey of Who's Your One as we do an overview of our series. Now, here's my question for you this morning. What are you going to do with your one and only life? The life that you have left, the years, the months, the years. What will you do with your one and only life? And would you allow God to use you? You see, God created you. God designed you, and God wants to use you for his kingdom purposes. So will you be the one God uses to win the one God chooses? Will you be the one God uses to win the one God chooses? In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." When you study the life of Jesus Christ, you'll learn very quickly that Jesus had a very focused life. He didn't just wade in the water. He didn't just float down lazy river and wherever the current took him, he would go. Instead, Jesus lived his life on purpose, with focus. And God's called us into that same dynamic to live our lives with focus and to live our lives on purpose. Jesus said his food, his ambition, the reason he woke up every day was to do the will of God and to finish his work. We pick up in John chapter 17 now in our text, verse 4. Let's see how Jesus did. Where in his priestly prayers he prays to our Heavenly Father, he says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished." One translation says, "having finished the work that you gave me to do." Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer on your deathbed to be able to pray to your Heavenly Father and say, "I have finished. I have accomplished the work you gave me to do." Wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer to offer up to God in your final moments upon the earth? You see, we are created to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth. That's why you're awake right now. That's why you're alive. That's why God awakened you this morning. That's why you still have a pulse, praise God. That's why you're still breathing, because God has created you to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his voice, to be his heart, to be his compassion, to be his love. We also find in John 17, 18, look with me, verse 18, Jesus said to our Father in heaven, "As you, Father, sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Speaking of us as his followers, just as our Heavenly Father sent Jesus into the world, Jesus now is sending us into the world. So we have a mission to fulfill, a purpose to live out. We find in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, where Jesus identified the clarity of his purpose when he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That was his mission. And his mission is our mission. So how can I be the one God uses to win the one God chooses? Let me give you three steps. Here's a review. Step number one, be available for God's use. Be available for God's use. Remember, God is not limited by our abilities or the lack of abilities. What God chooses to bless in his kingdom economy is our availability. And I want to challenge you every single morning when you wake up to just pray this prayer, "Lord, I'm yours. Use me." And I call that placing your yes on the altar. "Lord, I place my yes on the altar. I'm yours. Use me." And if you'll embrace that posture every single day and just say, "Lord, I'm yours. Use me." And you bring your availability to God. You watch what God does in your life and what God will do through your life as you fully surrender to His Lordship. Be available to God's use. Step number two, be sensitive to God's activity. If you're not careful, you'll get so enamored by the pleasures of life or so distracted by the pain of life and the difficulties of life that you will lose sensitivity to God's activity. And what we learned in our Experiencing God's study with Henry Blackaby is that God is always at work. Would you say that with me? God is always at work. And while you were sleeping, God was working. When you woke up this morning, God was working. God is working in your life. God is working in your circumstances. God is navigating everything in your life and everything around your life. God is at work. But it's possible to go through life and not detect the activity of God, not to discern the voice of God. So we want to be sensitive to God's activity, being reminded that He's always at work and that God invites us to join Him in His activity. So you don't have to generate something in this life. You don't have to, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to make it happen for God. No, God's already at work. He's inviting you to join Him in His activity. So be available. Be sensitive. And step number three, be intentional in your witness. Be intentional. That means I'm going to walk in purpose. I'm going to operate my life in purpose. I'm going to align my life with God's purpose and plan. We find it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power. Remember that Greek word? Dunamis. It means dynamite. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, right where you are. You're going to make a difference right where you are in your Jerusalem, and then all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. I want you to be intentional in your witness. Now, our children were so amazing as they were singing God's praise, lifting up God, praising Him. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And our children this morning were singing so. Now, some of you are very gifted in singing. I'm not, so I sit on the front row so that no one's in front of me can, they'll have to hear me sing. So I'm on the front row where they can't hear me sing. And I love to sing in my truck, love to sing in the shower, but I don't want anybody to really hear me because that's just not my gift. But I'm so thankful the Bible doesn't say, bring a perfect pitch to the Lord and praise Him. The Bible says, make a joyful, some of you know that, you can feel that, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And here's what God does. He takes your noise and He converts it into praise, and it's received by Him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and as our children demonstrated, let the redeemed of the Lord sing so. And when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, God gives you a new song to sing, and He gives you a message worth sharing. Now, why is it so important to share your faith? Why is it so important to share your faith? Why is it that there's no room for closet Christianity to conceal your identity? Why is it there's no room for secret saints where you don't let anybody know that you're a child of God? Why is it so important to share your faith? Why is it so important for the redeemed of the Lord to say so? Because eternity is at stake. Eternity's at stake. Because lost people go to hell. That should motivate us. That should move us. That should stir our soul. And because the countdown clock is ticking, Jesus is coming soon. And our time is limited. We're in what's called the exchange zone on a track, that 20 meters where you hand off the baton. We're in this exchange zone, and Jesus is coming back soon. He could come back during this service. He could come back during our Spanish service. He could come back when we're taking our Sunday afternoon nap with slobber on the pillow. Lord, please don't come during that time. But He could come at any moment. And that motivates us. Eternity is at stake. Lost people go to hell. And Jesus is coming again. And that's why it's so important to share our faith. And we are to live in ready mode, ready to share our faith, ready to shine His light, ready to showcase His grace. This morning when I was leaving my house to come here, it's a long commute. We live 2 miles from here. Right before we bought the land here, we bought our home 2 miles away. believing God for this property. We're so thankful it all came together. 2 mile commute. I was driving down my street, and a few houses down to my left, one of our neighbors just got a new basketball goal installed in his driveway. And it captured my attention because it matches the one we just installed at the back of the property by our student building next to our new sand volleyball court for our students. And I was like, whoa, now that's a nice basketball goal. And my neighbor and his wife were outside with their two kids. And so I rolled my window down and said, now that is an NBA level basketball goal. Wow. He had his shirt off. He was buff and ripped. Very obvious he works out and does not eat Bluebell. I got to work on him. And he said, well, it looks like you're heading to church. Now here I am, of all Sundays, I pick a bright pink shirt to wear. I didn't have my coat on. He says, I see you're going to church. I said, absolutely. I'm on my way right now. In fact, I want to give you a personal invitation. So I reached down in the side pocket of my truck where I have invitations to our church that we're available to you as well. And I said, I'm going to invite you to our campus. We'd love to have you. Now, what inside of me moved me to roll down my window, engage them in conversation, and to invite them to church? Eternity's at stake. Lost people go to hell, and Jesus is coming soon. We have a limited amount of time to reach the people in the shadow of our steeple, a limited amount of time to reach the lost, a limited amount of time to reach the one God brings into our path. So live in ready mode, and then learn to share your story. Remember your testimony. God has given you a testimony, your life before Christ, how you came to know Christ, and then your life since knowing Christ. That's your story. That's your testimony. Now, don't glamorize your life before Christ. Give people a snapshot of how lost you were and what it was like to come to faith in Jesus Christ and what your life has been like since. So often I'll hear a testimony where it's like glamorizing their sin before they came to Christ. And Well, I don't even want to say it. What they were into, and just and like I was having so much fun and partying every night and drugs this and womanizing, man, living the life. And then I got saved. No, it's I was in the kingdom of darkness. I was lost. I was going to hell. But God came to my rescue. Jesus came and pulled me up. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. That you testify that you were in the kingdom of darkness, but praise God, he brought you into the kingdom of light. So what we're glamorizing is identifying, here's where we were when Jesus found us. And by his grace, we came into a saving relationship with him. And now I'm adopted into God's family. I'm filled by God's spirit. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I have peace with God. I have a hunger and thirst for his righteousness. I'm reading and feeding on his word. I'm connecting to the church. I'm exalting Christ in worship with my fellow believers. I'm in a life group where I'm growing and doing life with other people, my age and life stage, and I'm sharing my faith with other people because eternity's at stake. And lost people go to hell, and Jesus is coming soon. So share your story, your testimony, and then you take your conversation vertical. By transitioning from your story to his story. And we call that the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that God created us, then we sinned. Our sin separates us from a holy God. And then God acted in Jesus Christ, allowing Jesus to come to this earth and live a sinless life, die a sacrificial death on the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. Why was it borrowed? Because 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Defeating death, grave, in hell, and conquering the impact of sin. That Jesus paid the full penalty of our sin. Then he walked the earth for 40 days, was witnessed by over 500 people. Then he ascended back to the Father, where now he's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And one day, Jesus is going to come back for his church. That's the gospel. And we're to take our conversation vertical by transitioning from our story, our testimony, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share the gospel. And you, if you'll just learn John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the whole Bible in one verse. And you can lead anybody to faith in Jesus Christ with John 3:16. You can learn the faith outline. Forgiveness is available, but it's impossible as you turn from sin. Trust in Jesus alone for salvation. And if you're willing to turn, you will go where? Starts with an H. Heaven. So forgiveness is available, but it's impossible unless you turn from sin. Trust in Jesus alone for salvation. You'll go to heaven. Forsaking all, I trust him. Share your faith. Share the plan of salvation. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use the Roman roads of salvation. You've heard me share that so many times. Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9 and 10, Romans 10:13. You can even Google Roman road to salvation and you can learn how to share the plan of salvation. You can use the ABCs. Admit that to God that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus is God's son, that he died on the cross for our sins. And then C, confess Jesus as Lord of your life. The ABCs of the gospel. Share your faith. Share your faith. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And then know what you believe and why. Know what you believe and why. You don't have to walk through this life fearful of, well, somebody may question me about the Bible, and I don't know everything about the Bible. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. Just know what it takes to be saved, and then learn about the Bible. Learn about God's revelation and learn what you believe and why you believe it and grow in your love relationship with God. That's why I preach the Word of God. That's why we have life groups so that you can grow in your faith and understanding of the Word of God and do life with people your age and life stage. Will you be the one God uses to win the one God chooses? Now, I don't know about you, but I just don't really enjoy being around negative people. How many of you enjoy being around negative people? Would you just say, I love it? Raise your hand, anybody? No. We just aren't drawn to that. We don't love negativity. And maybe for you, you're going to wake up tomorrow and you'll go to work and there's that negative person in your life. You know the one I'm talking about? Kss. You know what I'm talking about? Kss. Like you just walk near them, kss. They spray their negativity on you and it gets all over you. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then you try to become strategic in learning how to go to where you need to go by avoiding them so that you don't get kss on you. Could it be that God has planted you there by kss so you can be salt and light in their lives? So that you can share your story and share the gospel? Could it be that God has placed you in that difficult environment? Maybe it's somebody in your family tree. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe somebody on your team, on your squad. Maybe somebody that you interact with. And anytime you're near them, kss. Maybe God has placed you in their life so that kss can come to know Christ. And God has strategically placed you in their lives, though they may get on your nerves, though you have to overcome the obstacle of their negativity and their spray gets all over you, but yet you still persevere and you're bringing the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the love of Jesus Christ. You're being his hands, his feet. Why? Because you are made for a mission. You're created to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth, and you want to come to Christ. And maybe when comes to Christ, they'll stop. Now, I don't know how we're going to transcribe this message. But all of us have difficult people in our lives. But you can be around a positive person who needs Jesus. And God has placed you in their life so that you can bloom for his glory. Will you be the one God uses to win the one God chooses? Will you be willing to engage them in conversation? Would you be willing to invest in their life by interceding for them, investing in the relationship, and then invite them to church? You remember the question? How many people who know you but don't know Jesus will come to know Jesus because they know you? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your constant pursuit, that you pursued us in our negativity. You pursued us in our sinfulness, separated from you, and you never gave up on us. That you didn't give us just a little bit, you gave us your very best when you allowed Jesus to come to this earth to address our mess, to pay the penalty of our sin so that we could become your righteousness. Lord, I want to thank you for loving us so much, caring about every detail of our lives, being willing to pay the full price for our sin. And Jesus, thank you that as we turn from sin and trust in you alone for salvation, thank you for the gift of forgiveness, that you remove our sin and you impute your righteousness, allowing us to be adopted into God's forever family. And I pray that the grace that you have dispensed in our lives will be dispensed through our lives. Help us to be the one that you use to win the one you choose. And Lord, that those who know us but don't know you will come to know you because they know us. I pray that you'll help us to become that contagious and that courageous.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.